April is the month of the military child, a time to recognize the strength, resilience, and sacrifice of children in military families. These kids navigate unique challenges, frequent moves, long separations, and the uncertainty that can come with a parent's service. When you layer in illness or injury, those challenges can feel even heavier. Today's conversation is an important and powerful one. Welcome to WonderCast, a community collaborative podcast supporting families navigating the complexities of chronic illness or injury. WonderCast is supported by the generous sponsorship of Texas Oncology. Texas Oncology, more breakthroughs, more victories, experts in cancer care. In this episode of WonderCast, we're joined by Stacy Malcolm, child life specialist, military spouse, and founder of her private practice, Healing Hearts. Together, we explore how best to support children through their caregiver's illness or injury while building connection and resilience through a time of constant change. If you're supporting a military family or navigating uncertainty yourself, this conversation is for you. Meet Stacy.
Hi. Yes. So my name is Stacy Malcolm. I am a certified child life specialist. I have a private practice that is called Healing Hearts, a child life private practice LLC, where I offer support to children and families in the community setting. So offering a lot of grief support, a lot of illness education support that way. And of course, my specialty, which is offering services to military families, offering support, preparation, and just giving them extra support that they need. I still continue to work at the hospital. So I do work at a local hospital in Connecticut where I do per diem, so working a few days a week. So that keeps me busy that way. And then, of course, I have my family. So I do have 2 small children, 4 and 2. And then my husband is actually active duty Army. So that is where this comes in. And I have such a passion for supporting military families, especially because I am a military spouse myself, so I can relate to it on a personal level.
You guys are coming up on a move here at some point, right?
Yes. So we actually just found out probably about a month ago that we are going to be moving to Newport, Rhode Island. So we are very excited for that move. We've been in Connecticut for 2 years now, and it's actually worked out really well because we have been close to family and our friends. And I've been able to work while we're here. So it's been a really easy transition. And then because Rhode Island is, of course, so close to Connecticut, it's going to be an easy transition. But we will only be there for 1 year. So really, it's going to be July to July. And then we are going to be moving somewhere else for 3 years.
My gosh, that's a lot of transition. But exciting.
Yes.
Do you feel like it's exciting or does it rot you with anxiety to move so much?
Yes, that's a great question. I personally love it. I think it keeps us on our toes. We find new and exciting things everywhere we go. And I think it's a great adventure for the kids, especially. You know, it's funny when we actually told our son, who's 4, we told him that we're going to be moving to Newport this summer. He remembered that we went to a polo match, and to him, he calls it the ponies. So he remembered being at the ponies, and he remembered, like, you know, he associated all that and going to the beach. So he's very excited.
Oh, yeah. He gets to be a beach babe now.
Oh, yeah.
And summer is a good time to be moving to the beach. So that will be fun.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So we're excited. But yeah, of course, there's so many transitions. I mean, there's going to be transitions for all of us, of course. And our son is going to be going to a new preschool and the move. There's so much involved. But you just got to work with it and go with it.
Absolutely. Well, what I'm going to have you do is, if you're comfortable, I would love for you to share a little bit about your private practice, specifically how that has come to be, how that works in tandem. We do have a lot of child life specialists or mental health professionals that are kind of balancing that duality of hospital life and private practice. And I would love for you to share how you manage that balance.
Yeah. So I've been working at the hospital for over 5 years now. Because I am a military spouse, I've been moving, of course. So the hospital that I am at is actually my 3rd hospital that I've worked at, because we lived in all different locations. We lived in Texas, we lived in North Carolina, and then we're back here in Connecticut. So three different hospitals. But what I will say is I'm able to balance working at the hospital due to being per diem. So being home with the kids, working per diem, supporting my husband with his military lifestyle. And then really what happened was I've had such a niche experience where I loved supporting children and families in the palliative care setting and end of life. Really wanted to explore what more there is I could do, especially meeting families on the other side of the hospital, because we see families at the hospital, of course, but we see them there. So what happens afterwards? You know, what is that transition going to look like at home after a loved one has died or after a difficult diagnosis has been delivered to the patients and families? So my private practice kind of explores that on the other side, where I can offer in-home support, community support to those clients, really, in their homes, in the community, and on a more personal level than I was able to do at the hospital, where it just we just leave it from the hospital. So it's been a really, really great transition, and I'm absolutely loving doing the best of both worlds. Of course, I love being at a hospital, but I also am really liking this side of it too. The other thing that I've been really looking forward to and have been exploring is teddy bear clinics. So that's one thing that I've been doing a lot right now, is going to libraries, different like pop-up events and play places that have opened up where I can bring child life and teddy bear clinics and help children really explore what a stethoscope looks like, what it means to give a shot to their teddy bear, how that's going to feel for them. So really exploring that and minimizing any trauma that will occur.
I love that. Do you find in your private practice that a lot of the families support being military and kind of around the base are military families?
Yes. So I will say when we are stationed at somewhere that's close to a base or post, yes, there's lots and lots of military families. And yes, of course, there's so many different resources for, you know, military families, whether that's mental health, whether that's a therapist, doctors, providers, there's of course so many resources, but what Child Life can offer is so niche. So I'm very excited to bring Child Life to this realm that really hasn't been explored all too much and offering support in that way, especially with deployments and trainings. There's so many different transitions that military families have to face, and having a child life specialist for those families is going to be crucial.
And I know that at Wonders and Worries, the population that we serve are caregivers or parents in a home that are navigating a serious illness or injury, which is a little bit different than typical Child Life. But in owning your own private practice, I'm sure you see the whole variety of ill children, ill parents, just illness in their family unit. What are some unique stressors that you have found specifically kind of zoning in on those military families, particularly those that might be navigating serious illness or injury in their home? What are some of those unique stressors that you find are most apparent in the families that you support?
Yeah, so I will say military families, of course, this can happen to anybody, but illness is already, new diagnoses, grief and loss, all of that is challenging, as we know, on a typical level for a typical family. When there's a military family that is going through something like this, they might be somewhere that's really, really far from their house, right? So they might be miles and miles, countries away. They might be overseas. It's hard because sometimes when you are a military family, you are away from your family. You do build a community. You do build your people. I mean, you find that everywhere, right? So you really latch on to the people that are going to support you the most whenever you move, especially a military family. But when you're facing these crucial, acute, high need elements, I would say that it's definitely harder being a military family because your spouse might be deployed. They might be on a training. And there's usually one parent that's in charge. And if they're already going through something like this, and then also on top of it, an illness, a grief, a loss, something that's also crucial in that moment, the family is going to have a lot more challenges faced for them.
When a family has a crisis, like a military family specifically has a crisis in their family unit, maybe it's a parent, like the supporting spouse, maybe they have a cancer diagnosis or a new condition that's come on or an injury, or maybe one of the children do in the family. How does the military find out about that?
So the families will reach out to their higher ups. When those circumstances do come up, if the spouse is deployed or on a training, they can reach out to the Red Cross and then they will send a message over to their loved one and say, hey, this is happening. We're going to send you home. So that usually is what happens in a very acute crisis, something that happens that way. Or if it's something that military spouse is home and they're going through it while the spouse is actually like in their home and within their family, then they can reach out to their higher ups, their lead supervisor, and then they'll take it from there and find out what resources and what services are offered in these situations. So they will take care of the family, of course.
Our listeners always love to share about how much they appreciate resources. Do you have any resources that are unique to maybe military families that are facing a medical crisis?
Yeah. So I have some books that I absolutely love for kids who are experiencing either a transition of their loved one deploying or even moving to a new home or anything like that that has to do with the military. So a few books that I absolutely love are Night Catch, Sometimes I Want to Hug, Lil Army Soldier, Home Again, and The Kissing Hand. I feel like these are really, really wonderful books that either explain the military to children in age-appropriate ways, or also when a loved one has deployed or gone on a training or is away from their household for a significant period of time, these books help the children understand while also offering a very supportive and loving story. And I think those are helpful. I personally use those with my own kids. When my husband has gone away for a significant period of time, and it's funny because my children will gravitate towards those books when he is gone. So I personally know on a personal level, those work really well. And the other thing I will say is every time you move, you find who your people are. You find out the resources. Usually when you move, you get an email from a leadership group. We usually call it the FRG, Family Readiness Group. So they will send you a list of all these different types of things that are access for you and your family. So here's where you can go if you have this problem. Here's where you can go if you need these resources. These are a list of resources that families have used for X, Y, and Z. So there is a whole lineup of things every time you move that you will have access to, which is really important, especially if you don't know anyone around. It's helpful to have this group. So I've actually had experience being on the FRG. I've been an FRG leader, and you have coffee meetups. You meet with the spouses. You plan events usually once a month. You do park meetup if the spouses have kids. There's all these different things that are available. So A, you don't feel alone, and 2, you have a community, and 3, you have resources so that you can get through these types of things.
For families that maybe have newly moved to a base and they might have had something happen in their family where maybe there was an accident with an injury or with even an illness that has been discovered or has been exacerbated, it sounds like the point of contact would be to maybe reach out to that FRG leader, reach out to your spouse, your military spouse's higher ups, and then they will have the resources to help support your family.
Yes, that is correct.
Perfect. What have you found to be some of the tools that you use or that you recommend when somebody is facing a new illness or diagnosis and they are a military family? I love the books that you linked for when they're having to separate from their family. But have you found there to be any specific resources that families utilize with you or that you focus on when you are working with a family facing illness?
Yes. So I would say I do a lot of play. So a lot of separation play, or a lot of preparation for when the family member is going to go for a deployment or a training for an extended period of time. So a lot of separation play, I feel like, is key, especially because, you know, the family is used to a certain dynamic, right? And then one of the family members is going to go away for an extended period of time. My husband has gone away for months and months on end. We just had our first baby and he was 3 months old, and my husband had to go on a rapid deployment when he was 3 months old and didn't come home till when he was 9 months old. So, you know, yes, we focus so much on the parent leaving. We focus so much on that. But I try to also focus on ways that we can become better caregivers at home, right? Like, what can I focus on that's going to make me a better parent while my spouse is gone? What are things that I'm going to do? What are people and places that I'm going to lean on so that I can help in this situation, trying to make it the best we can.
Now, when you have maybe a parent that has an illness or an injury, and I don't know if you've come across this in your private practice or not, but when you have that and maybe their spouse is still deployed, what kind of support does that look like? Or how do you encourage the family unit to stay connected? Obviously, I'm sure technology like FaceTime and WhatsApp and all of that has come so far. But like, are there specific things that you do to encourage connectivity to your traveling spouse or traveling family, especially for those military family members that live so far from the grandparents and the uncles and the best friends and that support community?
Yeah. So something that I've done recently, and I've actually done this with my own kids, is I'll have family members write letters about different things that they have accomplished or they're good at or things that, you know, the military has enhanced for them. So I'll give an example. My family has been in Connecticut, right, for 2 years, and we're close by family, which is very rare in the military world. So I'm having all of our family write these letters to my children, and I want them to write them handwritten. And I'm going to put them in a book so that when we move, they can look back at what each person has written that from their time that they loved spending with my kids here. So, and it doesn't have to be anything like that, but I think handwritten notes or handwritten cards or something that they can cherish in that way is crucial. One of the things that I really enjoy doing, and I think this builds connectedness to with the parent that has deployed or is training, is having your kids help in any single way that they can make an impact for their spouse that's gone, for the parent that's gone. So something even like helping the parents make a care package. You know, what does the kids want to add into the care package for their parent? Do they want to draw some pictures? And obviously, we know that is very therapeutic. Do they want to make a card? Do they want to add in their favorite toy so that daddy or mommy can have that when they're gone? You know, let them be creative. I think that that is a beautiful thing, and I think they'll remember it. I was just thinking recently about how my son was remembering a time that my husband actually was deployed, and he remembered that my husband was gone, right? But he remembered that we made a chain of papers so that every single morning he was able to take a chain off and throw it in the garbage, and he remembers that. And he was, I believe, maybe 2.5 at the time. And he remembers that. He remembers me waking him up every morning and saying, let's go downstairs and take off a chain. And he remembered that each chain that he took off got closer and closer to my husband coming home. So there's absolutely things that you can do and that I love to encourage that will help in supporting children when they're away from their families and helping them realize these are the things that are going to be happening and this is how we're going to get through it.
Oh, amazing. Have you found that, and this might happen through the FRG group, I'm not sure, but if you had a military family that had a crisis and maybe their spouse was overseas and was not able to come back home straight away, and they don't have access to family members that maybe they're close to or they're too far, or they have limited resources to be able to get there, are there people in the military community that kind of act as stand-in family members? Is that something that's done?
Yes. So Okay. This is, it's funny you ask me that. So there is a team called the CARE team, and I am actually a CARE team member. So when there is a acute situation that happens, either a death of a loved one or an illness or something tragic that has happened in the family, a CARE team member who has been trained will step in and offer firsthand support, whether that's coming to help them clean their kitchen, whether it's make a meal, whether that's making a meal chain, right? There's all these different things that the other people can help support that family right then and there. And this is why the CARE team exists. When I first became a military spouse, I signed up for all these different trainings, the FRG, the CARE team, just because I wanted to be involved and I wanted to help any way I can. And being a CARE team provider and a child life specialist really goes hand in hand. I remember thinking when I became a CARE team member and I wasn't certified at the time for a child life specialist, I was like, this is what a child life specialist does. So it is really funny how those two go hand in hand. But there's been times where I've actually had to use my childlike brain. I'll never forget when my husband had a soldier that passed away over a deployment, and I had to go with him to meet the family and offer firsthand support that way and just sit with them. They had to go over all their financial plans and their next steps moving forward. So I was there to help in that circumstance.
You're right. That is so hand in hand with what we do, especially with hospice and palliative, where it's that early anticipatory loss or maybe in a notice of acute loss, you know, offering those immediate resources and that bereavement support. Because if there are children in the home, you are needing to help support this surviving spouse's loss, but also help with the children and help them feel like they process and can understand what's happening as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome that they have that program and that you've also chosen to be a part of that. Do you find that a lot of the people on the care team do come from helping professions?
Yes. Yes. Usually they do. Nurses, caregivers, social work, child life.
That's lovely. That's so nice that they have that. Is there a favorite thing that you have found in working with military families?
I would say just how easy it is to connect with military families. We are all in the same boat. We're all in it together. No matter where you go, you'll always have a community. And that's what I love so much. My very best friends are friends that I have found within the military. Because, you know, you build connections so fast and so easily, and you rely on those people, especially when things get tough. I remember, especially when my husband, all of his deployments, and, you know, you'd call your friends that are in the military and you say, hey, can you just come over and just sit with me? And it's just funny how people build connections so easy and so fast. And it's because you have to.
That to me, as a civilian on the outside world, seems the opposite of what I would think, right? And so that's so refreshing to hear because I would think, gosh, you're moving all the time. You have limited community that you're always having to start over everywhere you go. And it sounds like there's almost like this resiliency of the people in general where they are like, no, you immediately connect in. You immediately are swooped up. And what a refreshing, clearly I have no idea. Very refreshing to hear that actually, regardless of a move, building community is a universal thing and really well-developed on military programming.
Yes. And you have to. You have to find the beauty in it, of course. You have to look at it in a positive way. It's such a rare thing having this community. And I think it takes a special person to be a military spouse, and not everybody could do it. So, and that's usually what I say, because even my friends who are non-military, they're like, I don't know how you do this. And you just do. And there's so much beauty that comes with it and so much support. And I think it's just a beautiful thing, right? To show my kids too, like, hey, this is what daddy is doing, right? This is what he's doing. And we're supporting him.
Now, for families that maybe you are supporting with professionally through your private practice and say they get orders to move, or maybe they have a new issue after you move, a new issue that's come up and they want to reconnect, are they able to do that virtually with you, or are you just providing in-person support at this time?
Yes, they can absolutely connect virtually. And more often than not, I'm actually doing more virtual support for military families just because they're all over.
Oh, that's awesome. So they can continue receiving support through your private practice, even if you aren't living in the same city or at the same base or...
Yes.
Oh, that's incredible. Yes. That's great.
And a lot of, too, what comes up is, you know, it's not what you would normally think for typical child life. But what happens usually is, too, like I'll have a mom or a caregiver reach out to me and be like, hey, four-year-old is now wetting the bed and not eating his breakfast. Is this normal? And I'm like, yes, it's normal because your spouse just left for deployment, you know? It's very on trend to see these typical reactions and regressions that occur and very on trend for grief and loss, not a loved one that has died. But yes, your husband is gone for training. That affects the whole entire family dynamic, right? It really does.
And I'm sure when they return as well, right? I'm sure you might see some similar regressions when a family member comes back who's been gone for a length of time.
Yeah. So it's funny. My husband and I talk about this all the time. We actually think the reintegration process is the hardest.
So oh, I believe it. Us, yes.
Yes. Because the anticipatory, you know what's coming, right? Especially when they get the call that they have to go or they get the notice, hey, in a few weeks, you're going to be going for a training or you're going to be deploying. You get this thing overcomes you that you're like, okay, I have to do X, Y, and Z to prepare for them leaving. And then the day comes and you just do it. I feel like there's usually a week where you're like trying to get everything squared away. You're trying to get into your new normal. And then I feel like after that, you just are this most like independent superhero that just overcomes you. And the military has made me the most independent person. So, I mean, I'm sure it's made so many other people very independent. You get into this new normal where you just do it, right? You do these things. Of course, you have your help, but you're the one getting the kids ready for school every single day. You're the one that's cooking and cleaning and feeding the dog and holding it all together, right? But then when they come home, you're having to reintegrate them back into their lives, especially how you were living pre-deployment or pre-training. And that is truly what is hardest. No one prepared me for that in the beginning. And I think that that is really what takes the most effort.
And I imagine that if you're doing that with maybe a child that's been facing an illness or you yourself kind of navigating an illness or injury, that there's almost like extra control that you've had, right? Like, because that's also been your form of coping, is to have that control of med schedules and routines. And then I'm sure, even though you're grateful for the help, I'm sure that's even extra messy because you're having to let go of something that's really been a coping mechanism.
Right, right. And I can imagine for the families too that are going through with those illnesses or a new diagnosis, the parent on the home front, they're taking control. They're running with it. Yes, it's this very difficult, hard thing that they're going through, but they're almost like on an adrenaline, right? Because their bodies are going overtime trying to be the one to do it all. When the deployed parent comes home, it's this extra piece that they're like, okay, now I have to kind of let that control go a little bit. And it's hard. And not to mention the fact that the spouse that was overseas or gone or training comes back home and they were used to this other sort of adrenaline. They're used to running around 24/7. They're used to sleeping with bunks on bunks on bunks, right? They're used to living this lifestyle that is not normal, right? And it's not the average. So they're having to come home.
I can imagine it would be very easy to go to a place of resentment. If you have been in this hard space of illness and injury without your person there beside you, and then they come back, and of course, they're doing beautiful work of serving our country, but they come back and you're having catch them up essentially and share the load. I'm sure it's like, I don't have time for this. I can't take this on too, or if maybe you're the ill one, like I'm exhausted. And I'm sure it's a whole other level of exhaustion just trying to catch that person back up to the everyday life. So I'm glad that there are programs in place through the FRG, through the care team to help with that reintegration.
Right. And especially because the parent on the home front has been doing it a certain way and the spouse coming home is going to be doing it another way that the children are not used to. So, I mean, I'm even thinking of it from like a diabetes perspective, right? Like they're used to taking their insulin this way and getting their injections this way. And the parent coming home may be like, well, let's just do it this way. And that might not fly. It might not.
It might not. So, if you have a child or yourself that's navigating diabetes, for example, we'll go with that. Like maybe the ways that you do meal and meds and all that stuff has completely changed. Like maybe you have to eat totally different. I mean, there are a thousand other things, right? There's this gap in connection. And so, yeah. So I guess if you are a military family that's listening to this, you're probably nodding your head and you're like, duh, right? Like that's the worst part. But for everyone who is not active duty or civilians, we're like, oh my gosh, like I didn't even think about that end of it. So very unique to the comings and goings for military families.
Right.
Well, I want to be honorable of your time. Is there anything that I failed to mention or anything else you want to share with our listening population?
I will say for the supporting people, right? The family, the friends of military families. It's not necessarily the week that the spouse comes home that they need to reach out. It's usually a few weeks later to a month later, right? It's almost like having a new baby, right? It's when people start to drop off and ask, like, how are things going? How are things doing? It's usually later on that the family actually will really need that support. So to me, I think what matters the most is just continue to check in, let them know you're caring about them, send some money over for a meal, right? Anything that you can do to help in the, I feel like the coming months after the deployed member comes home, I think is going to mean everything to that family.
Oh, that's such good advice. I love that. Well, we're so grateful for your expertise and the incredible work that you're doing. And we're excited for your new chapter here in your big move coming up. So I hope that that goes well. And then we will link to your practice through our website on our podcast so that families can find you, learn more about the work that you do. Well, I know that on behalf of the entire Wonders and Worries staff, I just want to say thank you so much for your family's service to our country and the sacrifices that you have made to ensure our freedoms. And I know that so many of our listeners are going to come away feeling so supported by the incredible work you are providing. Thank you for tuning into our podcast today. Please subscribe and continue to check back as our content is ever evolving. For questions or specific content-related requests, please send an email to podcast@wondersandworries.org.